Dr. Harry Ironside, who was a great man of God, was on his deathbed after writing many books and preaching in so many meetings. And on his deathbed, he had a vision in his mind. And the vision was one of the great sheep and the wild beast, you know, that's talked about over in the New Testament. And he couldn't get that vision off his mind. He kept saying a great sheep and wild beast. A great sheep and wild beast, just over and over and over again. A friend was sitting beside him, and he said, "John, it says creeping things." Nothing was said for a moment. He said, "John, did you hear me? It says creeping things." And then all of a sudden, he said, "Yes, that's how that I'm going to get in. Just a good-for-nothing creeping thing who has been saved by the wonderful grace of the Lord Jesus Christ." Hallelujah! It is not because we're a Baptist. It's not because we've been baptized. It's all because of the amazing grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's all about His amazing grace. You know what we are? We're just sinners saved by the grace of God.
Amen, brother.
Oh, there's nothing fancy about you. There's nothing fancy about me. We might have a different wardrobe on today, but can I tell you, down deep inside, the heart beats the same way. There is a soul there that needs saving. And hallelujah, Jesus carried that salvation may be a reality.
Amen.
It's all because of the amazing grace of God. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Listen to this. I was blind, but hallelujah, now I see.
Amen.
Do you ever get tired of those words? You shouldn't. Do we ever get tired of singing those words, even if we sing them to ourselves? No. Do you ever get tired of pausing and thinking about what Jesus has done in your life through His amazing grace? You should never get tired. What a beautiful day it was when you understood who Jesus was and all that Jesus had done. And what a beautiful day it was when you moved from this side and you moved over here with Jesus, and Jesus put His arms around you and Jesus moved inside of you. What a beautiful, what a grand, what a glorious day it was that you got saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
Hey, I know where I'm going when I die. I know what's going to transpire when the rapture comes with me. Listen, if the rapture takes place today, you go ahead and have service without me. I'm checking out.
Hallelujah.
It's all because of His amazing grace. Amazing grace is something that you've got to experience. And the hardest thing that some of you are trying to do is live right when you don't know Christ. You can't do it. You've got to know Him through the free pardon of His grace. You can pay the preacher. You can do all the good things in the church. But if you have not experienced the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ personally, then you are not saved.
Amen.
People say, "Well, you're talking to people who've been members of the church for years." I know I am. But I think one of our biggest problems in our churches, because we can't get more done for Jesus, is that we've got a lot of church members who have never had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When Jesus saves your soul, He changes your direction. When Jesus saves your soul, He changes your happiness. Hallelujah. And Jesus is still saving souls.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hey. Bless you and I today. Talk about the amazing grace of God. And probably one of the best biblical characters in the Bible who shows me what happens because of grace is a man by the name of Saul. And so if you got your Bible today, turn with Acts chapter number 9. And let's talk about the subject of the amazing grace. You know something? Saul of Tarsus, in this chapter, experienced the grace of God. Now help me this morning. As we look at what grace does in life, and let's see if you've really encountered the grace of God. Oh, Saul was born under Roman influence. Saul could speak Greek and Latin and Hebrew. He was a very, very well-versed person. But listen to me, it doesn't matter how many languages you can speak, you still need Jesus.
Amen.
Doesn't matter how many degrees you may hang on your wall, you still need Jesus.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter those things, and Saul still needed Jesus. And I want us to look at, first of all, the enjoyments of experiencing grace. Now, can you enjoy the fact that you've been with Jesus through grace? Maybe you were sitting in a church pew and Jesus began to speak to you and you had sweat pop out on your brow and your hands got sweaty and your heart pounded. And you sat in that church pew and you couldn't sit there any longer until you found yourself down at the altar and there you invited Jesus to the altar. It could have been sitting in your car and you pulled over on the side of the road or you're sitting in a parking lot somewhere and you're listening to something on the radio and Jesus began to speak to you and all those things began to happen to you and you prayed a prayer and right there in that Honda Civic, Jesus came into your heart.
Amen.
Now understand something. The old myth is this, that you've got to be in a church to get saved. That's a myth. Thank goodness Jesus doesn't confine himself to a church building. There's a lot of folks saved in different places.
Amen.
Maybe you're sitting in your home one day and old preacher come by and talk to you and you've been running him off and finally you said, I think I'll accept this Christ. And God touched your heart on your Damascus road. And he saved you by his grace. Would you recall that day for me this morning? You say, well, preacher, I can't recall that day. I just don't know when that happened in my life. Well, listen, I'm fixing to tell you how it can happen in your life. You should live in the present and also looking forward to the future in the enjoyments of God's grace. Now look what he said. If you look down with me at verse number 3 of Acts chapter 9, he begins to tell me the first enjoyment of experiencing grace. Now listen to what it said. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. Now look at verse 4. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul. Why persecutest thou me? And then look at verse 5. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, Lord? And what amazes me is he had a feeling who it was. He said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Can I tell you in 3 verses what the first enjoyment of experiencing grace is all about? Here's what it is. Now listen. Oh, Saul realized that Christ had a personal interest in his life.
Amen.
Jesus loves me. And Jesus has a personal interest in my life. The day that the Lord saved you and the day that the Lord saved me, the day that the Lord reached down in the mire and the mud and set us upon a solid rock, we should have realized that it was a God in heaven, but hallelujah, he cared about us. God does. The creator of the universe. Woo! The one who hung the stars in proper place. one that placed the moon and the sun, the one that divided the land and the water, the one that not only created the earth, but this vast universe that you and I are just a speck in. Stop and understand that God has a personal interest in what happens in your life.
Amen.
The President of the United States could care less about you, but I've got news for you. When I've got God caring about me, I don't need the President of the United States. God cares about you. God loves you individually. And Saul said, look, this must be Jesus.
Amen, brother.
You say, how do you know he had an interest in him? He called him by name. Saul. The day I got saved, I heard a whisper in my heart that said, Ron, you've tried everything else. You've just about went every direction that you could. Why don't you realize that I love you more than anybody loves you? Ron. Why don't you just invite me into your heart and let me be your Savior? And you know what? After a lot of prompting by the Holy Spirit of God, one day I realized that Jesus didn't care about me when nobody else cared about me, that Jesus loved me in spite of what the church crowd said about me, that Jesus still loved me, and in spite of that crowd who said Ron would never amount to anything, that went down there to the local church, I realized on that day that Jesus loved me just the way I was. Jesus didn't say, clean up and I'll save you. He said, no, I'll save you. And bless God, then I'll clean you up.
Hey.
I prayed a prayer and Jesus moved in my heart. And you know what? Ever since that day, he's never forgotten me. He knows what my cell phone number is. He knows what my Facebook looks like. He knows what everything is. He knows where I live. Guess what? As the old saying goes, he knows where I hang my hat. For he cares about me. He said to him, who art thou? Who art thou? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. And Saul realized on that day that the Lord had a personal interest in his life. I don't care what mom and dad said. I don't care what grandma and grandpa said. I don't care what a religious crowd at the church says. I don't care. Because listen to me. Jesus came because he loves you individually.
Amen.
And he cares about you. Oh, Saul realized that he had a personal interest in his life. Live every day, experiencing God's grace, knowing that Jesus knows who you are. But there's a second thing. If we glance back up to verse 1 and 2, it tells me something else. Now listen to what it says. Verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. Now look at verse 2. And desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, and he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Now listen to what Saul had to realize. Listen. That God, this great big old God, has a personal interest in his life. But that his past was ignored. Now Saul was a man who enjoyed speaking out against the disciples of Jesus. He was very zealous in what he'd done. He participated in the death of Stephen. He had even sought for papers that would give him right to arrest anyone. He didn't care, women or children, anybody who stood for Christ. He absolutely couldn't stand them. And when Jesus spoke to him on that Damascus road, now church statement, when Jesus spoke to him on that Damascus road, Jesus never once asked him about his past.
Right.
Never once. He never once. You know why? Because the Lord already knew his past. And the Lord could care less about his past.
Amen.
I tell you something today. The Lord knows where you've been. The Lord knows what you've done. The Lord knows what's in your heart. The Lord knows everything there is about you. And the Lord could care less about your past. He wants to care more about where you are with Him right now.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
God changed him. He became zealous for the Lord. Here's what I hear. I can't do anything for the Lord because of my past. You know, I just can't do anything for the Lord because I have too rough of a past. I have too rough of a past. Listen to me very carefully. Man may bring up your past, but aren't you glad that God forgives you of your past?
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
And if you want to start digging in closets, we could find some stuff on everybody in this field.
Correct.
Everybody, you say, oh no, oh yeah. Yeah, you dig deeper enough, you'll find a cobweb somewhere in your closet.
Amen.
But you know what happened? The day that Jesus moved into your heart and your life, He took that old broom of His, He took that mop of His, and He cleaned us completely. And hallelujah, church, I can share my past if I want to, but I don't have to, for I don't have a past. God ignored my past on the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
Woo! Church, that's good.
Amen.
People always say, well, you know what you used to do? Bless God, I know what I used to do. I was like... Stop and think about that. That's a profound statement. You know what you used to do? I know exactly what I used to do. People say, well, I just can't believe you're pastoring the church, and I can't believe how God's changed you and how your past is gone. Can I tell you, church, I'm not pastoring the church. I'm not pastoring the church. No, no, no. I'm standing up for my Jesus, and I'm telling Him that it doesn't matter where you've been and what you've done, Jesus loves you.
Hey.
Woo! That's hallelujah. Hallelujah. And anybody can be saved by the wonderful, amazing grace of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You always want to throw up the past. Belonging with you in your past. If Jesus has forgiven me, I could care less what man thinks.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Well, Saul's a tough person. Saul could have walked into any of our Baptist churches and felt at home. For he was mean as a devil. I don't mean that. But his past was ignored. But all this saying, I can't be anything for Jesus because of where I've been. I can't do anything for Jesus because of what I've done. I can't do anything, Richard. I can't do anything. I can't do anything. And the crowd in our church that has told you you can't do anything has not told you Bible. Guess what the Bible says? When you are forgiven, bless God, you are forgiven.
Amen.
My sins are wiped what? Clean. Cast in the water. You'll never find my sins again. That's an enjoyment of His grace. He realized he had personal interest in his life. He realized also, second of all, his past was ignored. Then he realized something else. Drop down to verse 6. I know we've moved it to the Bible, but look at verse 6 with me. Here's what he said. Verse 6. You know something? He had a purpose and proved in his life. Look at this. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. You know what Saul realized? God in heaven had a personal interest in him. God in heaven had ignored his past. And God in heaven had given him a purpose that was improved for his life.
Hallelujah.
Lord, what you want me to do? When Jesus saves you, you'll always want to do something for your Lord.
Amen.
When Jesus saves you, you won't just sit out on a pew and prop your feet up. You'll want to do something for Jesus. You know why? He changes your purpose for living. Every morning you climb out of the bed, every single morning you ought to say, Lord, what you want me to do for you today? If you've experienced the grace of God, He gives you a new purpose for living. God changed His purpose. Listen. God has personal interest in you.
He didn't care one thing about your past. He wants to give you a purpose for today and tomorrow.
Amen.
That's the joys. Now, if you're fixing to get excited, here's what I want to show you something. That's the enjoyments of the experience of grace. What are the evidences of experience of grace? How do you know if you've experienced the grace of God? How do you know? How do you know you've been saved? Oh, you say, well, preacher, I walk by a church. Preacher carried me to baptism, put me in this building or another building or some other place, and he baptized me. That's how I know, no? How do you know you've experienced God's grace? How do you know that you've been saved without a doubt? Well, listen to me very carefully. I don't care who you are. If you've never been saved, if you die today, you go to hell.
Right.
There's going to be some folks go to hell who have all kinds of baptism certificates.
Right.
There's going to be some folks that's going to go to hell who's changed their letter to every church in the county. It's not about letters from the church. It's about the name written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
We can change your letter. I can't change the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen, brother.
Let me give you some evidence. Now, we're going to walk very quickly because I know it'll be lunchtime before we turn around. Let me show you how you know if you've been saved. Look at verse 17. Look what he said. When you get saved, if you've experienced the grace of God, there'll be something that happens in your life. Look what he said. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and put his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus had appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, have sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight. And listen, and be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Let me tell you how you know you've been saved. You have a new presence living inside of you.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost of God, who's been tapping at your heart's door, when you invite him to come in, guess what he does? He takes up residence in your heart. And I will go ahead and tell you, us Baptist folks are afraid of the Holy Spirit. But can I tell you something? You're not saved apart from the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This crowd that runs around and says, well, you can ask Christ in your heart today. You've got to wait for 3 or 4 days to get the Holy Spirit. You've got to go through this class and this class. This class. I'm going to tell you that's not scriptural. The day that I got saved, bless God, the Holy Spirit of God moved in when I said yes.
Amen, brother.
I got all the Holy Spirit I'm going to get. But listen, there's all kind of feelings. There's all kind of feelings of the Holy Spirit. Or you can be half empty today and miserable, or you can say, Lord, fill me up. And you know what? When he fills you up, you have goosebumps pop out on your body. You can't control yourself. Why? It's not you. It's that awesome presence living inside of you. I know my Redeemer lives. You know how I know he lives? Bless God, he lives inside of me.
Amen, brother.
There's a new presence. Have you noticed that Jesus lives in you lately? There's always a new presence when you've experienced his grace. I don't listen to the crowd who scares you about the Holy Spirit. I'm a Baptist preacher because that's what I feel like the Lord wants me to do. But denominations don't make any difference. I am a Holy Ghost filled, Bible believing, Bible preaching preacher.
Amen.
I can go to the Church of God and preach. I can go to the Pentecostals. I've carried on meetings in Pentecostal church. I can preach there. There might be a difference on one or two things, but the main thing, Jesus lives inside of me.
Amen.
Has he moved in? Has he moved in? If he hadn't moved in, then you probably got so much garbage in your life that he can't move in.
Right.
I like the Holy Spirit. There's a new presence. But if you notice something else, he said something about restore his sight. And then he said in verse 18, he went on and said something else. And immediately there fell from his eyes and it had been scales. And he received sight forthwith and arose and baptized. There's a new presence, but there is a new perception. Here's a man that had new sight. He saw things differently.
It saw his scales. See, all the way of the seeing things fell off. And he had UVs. He once was looking into the eyes of a persecutor. He couldn't stand anybody who followed the Lord. And now he looked through the eyes of a Christian. He had a new perception. When you got saved, your outlook should have changed. You realize that the devil and his crowd would pull you down. You saw things differently. When you got saved, you saw eternity as it really was. I see things differently because of Jesus.
And
you still looking at the world the same you did? You may not know Jesus. When the Holy Spirit changes you, you see things differently. A new perception. A new presence. But now listen to this, it goes on. He didn't stop right there. Those things still happened in his life. Look at verse 19. And when he had received me, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain day, the disciples which were at Damascus. Now you hang on right here. Let me show you what he's got. He's got a new power. You don't have to turn there, but we're flipping off this scripture. But if I went back up into verse 9, let me read what it said. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor did he drink. 3 days without eating. Had anything. But you know what I was thinking? I think he was feeding on something a whole lot different.
Oh my.
He just saw a light on Damascus Road that he never saw before. He just saw a light, and so he was feeding on something different. When I got saved, I began to feed on God's Word. If you don't study His Word, you won't grow. You know why it's dieting time? Everybody talking about going on a diet, and I'm going to lose this, and I'm going to lose that, and I'm going to lose 25 pounds, and I'm going to do all this. I've heard some of you talk. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to lose anything. But we hear people say that. I don't think that's okay if you're an Indian. I know we ought to take care of our body physically, and I understand that. That's why I do nothing to take care of my body physically. But I understand that. But I'll tell you what the problem is. Most Christians have gone on a low diet of God's Word.
Oh, man.
And so they only show up on Sunday morning to get a dose of God's Word. Oh, I'm going to tell you, I'm either the best preacher in the world, or you're not feeding on the Word like you ought to, because listen, if I can feed you enough in one service to keep you fed the next Sunday, I'm absolutely wonderful. Because I'll guarantee you, you'll eat lunch today. And if I was a betting man, I could be a betting Baptist preacher. I'll bet you that you'll eat lunch tomorrow. And if I was a betting man, I could bet you that you'll eat the next day. You'll eat a meal every single day. Let me tell you something. It's the same way about God's Word. The more you come, the more you're fed, the more you're fed, the more you grow, the more you grow, the more like Jesus you become. The more like Jesus you become, the more people can see that you've experienced the grace of God. It's not a church thing. It's not a baptism thing. It's not a church membership thing. It's a God thing.
Yes.
Now, I will promise you this. I can't promise you a lot of things as your pastor, but I will promise you this. As long as I'm pastor of City Grove, or have approved of being pastor of City Grove, whatever time frame that is in God's plan. But can I tell you this? There's one thing I will promise you. I can't promise you a lot, but I promise you this. When I stand up in this pulpit, I am going to try to feed you from God's Word. And I'm not going to feed you some man's opinion. And I'm not going to feed you because somebody has criticized me about how I preach and I ought not preach on certain things. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, whether you like it or not, when I stand up here, I am going to preach the inerrant, infallible Word of God.
Amen. Amen.
And I appreciate the 10 or 15 in this building that support that.
Amen, brother.
For you won't grow if you're not founded on God's Word.
Amen.
There's a new power that comes. How powerful for you. There's a new presence. Yeah? The Spirit of God brings us up. There's a new perception. I see things different. There's a new power that comes from this Word. Look at verse 20. What he said. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. There is a new perception. He left out preaching Jesus.
He wanted everybody to know about his Jesus.